Hey, superstars, welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. I am so excited about today's show. I am joined today by Ashley Stinnett, who is a Bigfoot experiencer. She was recently featured in the documentary A Flash of Beauty, Paranormal Bigfoot, and it was my great pleasure and honor to have Ashley on the show to tell us all about the Sasquatch, all about her experiences with the Sasquatch, all that's happening in the Sasquatch communities. This was a totally new realm of exploration for me, and I love Ashley's enthusiasm, her knowledge, her humility, the awe and respect that she brings to the conversation. I have no doubt that you are going to enjoy this one. So buckle up and prepare to have your mind blown way wider open by this very special conversation with Ashley Stinnett. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me and us today. We are honored to have you.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I'm super excited for all of our conversations and everything that we get to talk about. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. So you hopped on my radar in such an unexpected way. Our mutual friend, Bette, invited me to an event at which you were our headline speaker. And I wouldn't say I pride myself, because pride is such a weird energy, but like, I'm pretty attuned to the deep woo and to a lot of conspiracies and a lot of things that consensus reality tries to squelch. But what you talked about was completely new to me. I had no idea. You totally blew me away. So tell us about how you got into Bigfoot, Sasquatch. What's the preferred terminology here?
There's not like a preferred, from my understanding. They know they have big feet, so it's not like an insult or anything. Okay. The word Sasquatch is kind of an anglicized version of a Salish word, which is one of the indigenous people up in the Pacific Northwest, and it's their word for them. So that's kind of become popular. But what's interesting is that pretty much in every language, you're going to find a word for them.
Really?
On all continents, wherever there's people, there are these other people. And to dive back into the question, this kind of like, this was a surprise to me too. I was around 28 years old. I was living in Phoenix, Arizona. I was doing, I had a specific career, and I found myself at a crossroads of if I was going to continue doing that or if I was going to go in a different direction. And I felt this urge to go in a different direction. I felt and was seeing synchronistic signs, which were at that time kind of new to me, and really just like one after another showing themselves to me, of coming to the Pacific Northwest. And it was around this time as well where I started going a little deeper into my own consciousness and asking deeper questions, more so than I had within the last, you know, aspects of my 20s. I wasn't like super base consciousness or anything on that level. I've always kind of been on the outskirts or whatever, but I hadn't gone that deep. And I was much more in tune with the music scenes and the art scenes of Phoenix and my career and all of these things. But then I was getting all of this push to come up here and to do something different. So I did. And I ended up meeting my partner like right before I moved up here. There was a lot of, again, synchronistic things. Stuff started falling into place. And we ended up moving up here in 2010. And a lot of stuff started unfolding up here for us. We started experiencing a lot of different things. And it wasn't new territory for us separately or together. We've both had a lot of different off the charts experiences with UFOs and ghosts and paranormal things, all those types of things in our past. But when we moved up here and we were living off of the Columbia River Gorge, we saw a lot. And it was so much in the skies, activity, different types of things. I had to dive deep. And this also coincided with the first time that I'd ever had a computer. I was a little late to the game, 2010, but I had a computer and I had access to the internet, which wasn't as garbagey as it is today. And I went full on into research mode. What is this that I'm seeing? What is this I'm experiencing? And
what were you seeing? Can you share with us some of the markers?
So we're having tons of UFO activity. Tons of UFO activity, specifically the white orb shape that is seen a lot. And it's not a satellite. and these things were low. Sometimes they were right over the house. Sometimes they would flood the house with blue light. There was just a lot of interactions with these orbs. That wasn't the only thing.
When you saw an orb that was hovering over your house and flooding it with blue light, did you feel fear? Were you aware of some sort of intelligence coming from the orb? Like, what was that experience like?
I remember there was a couple of instances with this particular phenomena, and I'll tell you about both of them. Kind of this first time when I saw the orb, it was later at night. We were at this first house that we lived at, again, off of the Columbia River Gorge. And my dog needed to go to the bathroom. So I took him out to the front yard, and here's this orb, and it's coming right over the treetop. And we're in a suburban area. You know, it's the outskirts, but I'm definitely suburban. I have neighbors all over. And then just like there's blue all over. There was no fear. At this time, we had already had some buildup with this type of contact. So there wasn't necessarily fear. The other time was during a storm. The house that we lived on this upper part of this house that went down on a slope. So we had this large deck, but it was like second story. And we were looking out north towards the river. And my partner and I went outside because there was a pretty large storm that was coming through, which is interesting. We'll get storms, but we don't get a lot of like big thundery type of storms, you know. But out there also off of the Columbia River Gorge, there's like this massive wind tunnel that just perpetually it's pretty windy out there. So we went out because we saw the light first and then we went out, or we were outside like looking at the weather. But then, yeah, like we didn't see the orb associated with that blue light then, but again, flooded down all over the whole area. And, you know, those weren't the only two times that's happened. That's happened other times throughout the last 15 years of 14, 15 years of living up here. So lots of UFO activity. Yes.
As that was happening, was it challenging to your worldview? Like, had you already been steeped in a sort of like third dimensional materialist construct, or were you already open to sort of unexplained phenomena?
So I had seen lots of different phenomena in my past in Arizona. I worked out like 54 miles into the desert on your way to San Diego, and I worked on night shift. So I had a whole big sky to look at during my work time, and I saw a lot of weird stuff. But I couldn't get past like this level of like, oh, it's a UFO, you know, like, okay, well, boom. I wasn't going deeper. I wasn't going deeper. But then when I came up here and it was really in my face, and then I had the resources available to go deeper, like that's all I did. And there was downloads of information. There was people coming into my path who were, I describe this as like this time up here and being able to connect with who I've been able to connect with on this path of learning as much as I can within this woo paranormal, interesting, one foot in one world, one foot in the other experience. It's been a fast course at the highest level university with the greatest teachers I've ever had, good and bad, you know, like some of like the best examples of all of it for me to build the discernment to walk through this in a good way. So that started happening. So more activities going on with that. I'm learning about that. Ended up, I had moved up here. My partner and I moved up here to open up a food cart because I wanted to follow this passion of culinary creation. And so we did. And then all of this like UFO stuff is happening. Then we find out that there's a place not too far away that's kind of world renowned where people go to and camp and watch things happen in the sky. So we're like, that's an evolutionary step for us. Let's like find out what this is about and see what's up. And that did lead us to this place. And we made friends pretty quickly with the caretakers. There's an owner and there's caretakers and they host events and people come. People have a lot of different experiences. And so a little farther down the road, they find out that I have a food cart. And then they're like, interesting timing. We don't want to work with our caterer anymore for the big events that we do here. Do you think you'd be interested in bringing your food cart out here and doing the big events? And I was like, absolutely, let's do this. So I had this very unique opportunity to be in this sacred land of this area near Mount Adams. There's a lot to be said about mountains. There's a lot, right? There's a lot to be said about mountains. And in this
particular— I just got a chill when you said that. And I'm sure you're going to take us there, but I would like to know what there is to know about mountains.
For sure. Yeah. So this place had a direct view of this mountain that has as much lore and mystery and beauty and just so much going on with it that's been going on forever. Like the stories go back forever. And then they were not only just like hosting events for people to come camping, but they had speakers from all over the world that were, you know, renowned in the New Age world or in ufology or spiritualism or all of these different categories. And so I got to meet some pretty fantastic people and sit in on kind of like all of their presentations, you know, in the off time when I wasn't preparing the meals. And so then again, like downloads, experiences, seeing things, opening myself up to all possibilities. Number one, and I love that you say this too, because since we met, I've been able to do a deep dive into all of your work. And I'm just so appreciative of all that you do.
Thank you.
That being said, and I'll go back to that later, but you say this a lot, and it's something that I say too, and needs to be repeated. I don't know, right? Like I don't know. And something that's said also within like the Sasquatch community of experiencers is that there is no expert on this subject. And if anyone is telling you that they are an expert on the subject, run the other direction, because there is no, it just doesn't exist. It's so personal and so different. And we all hold pieces to this. But what I do like to add on to the end of that is that although there are no experts on this subject, I am an expert on my own experiences. And that's what I can bring through the sharing of these experiences. And I think that through this process, especially, I've learned the importance of learning, teaching, and growing always. And those three words intermingling and moving in in the placement of those words to get deeper meaning in learning, teaching, and growing, teaching, and learning, you know. So anyways, all of that was happening. And then I also, you know, got to see kind of like the darker aspects of New Age isms and the traps that people fall into and the narcissism and the ego and all of that. And so again, big lesson from these big teachers, and not necessarily of like something super positive, but very positive in the end, because thank you, now I have the eyes to see that, you know? So that time frame of about like 3 years, which also included my first experience with the Sasquatch people. I had my first experience with the Sasquatch people on this land. And that's where I stepped into it. So that was June of 2013. I wasn't working this conference, but I was invited to go. And so I brought my friend up from Texas, and she flew up, and I still have it. It's a 1989 Dodge Ram B250. So we were driving up to the mountain in this. I was super sick. I had some sort of upper respiratory thing that had been going on for so long, but my friend was coming from Texas. We had planned this for a while. I'm like, I'm going to push through. I'm going to do it. And so we went up there, and I think it was the first evening. She slept in the front passenger, and then the back folded out into a bed. And I was sick, and so I took the bed back there. Around 3 o'clock in the morning, I started coughing, and like everything was dry. There was no mucus, and I couldn't stop coughing. It's like, I don't want to wake her up. I got to go outside and have a cigarette. Like literally, that's going to create some phlegm, and like, I'm going to stop this and I'll be able to go back to sleep. So I stepped out of the van. We had parked at the end of this very large field. And then there was a tree line behind us. And I'm out there and I'm looking at the sky. It's beautiful sky. It's huge because, again, we're right at the edge of this field. So it's open, and no one is up. You know, it's the 3 o'clock in the morning hour. No one's up. There's no noises. Nothing's going on. I'm just enjoying my smoke. And then I hear a call and response in the trees behind me. And it sounds like this: hoo-wah, 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 hoo-wah. And I'm standing there, I got my smoke, and I'm like, oh, maybe that's a Sasquatch. Maybe, okay. Cause everybody had talked, you know, like, yeah, they're up here. People talk like that when they're very, you know, even in your area, people talk because they're out there too. Right. So I had been getting these downloads about them, and I had already like had all of these experiences with UFOs and multidimensional, like just lots of things. And it was like, I was meeting them at that place. I wasn't thinking of them as animals. I wasn't thinking of them as, you know, anything less than me or higher, you know? And I knew at that point too, that there was more to them, that there was this multidimensional aspect to them.
How did you know that?
Just because that, you know, that was the environment that I was in at that point, at these conferences and, you know, all of these people with alternative thoughts on that. And then the people who had had the experiences on the land as well, sharing their stories. So that education had been set already. And I didn't need to go through kind of these steps from it's just a relic hominid or some sort of missing link, physical only, animalistic, you know, boogeyman type of thing. It's like, no, these are people. They have families. They're like way like more intelligent than us and got their stuff together like so good. And we, you know, we aren't as good of reflections of godliness as they are. You know.
May I ask what makes them like better than us or better reflections of godliness? And at this point, how did you know that?
Okay. It's good. That's so many good things. So with that kind of like higher knowing, like that they were like these higher dimensional beings, it's like, well, they they're doing these things, they're connecting with people in ways that are healing, in ways that are, you know, like at these higher vibrations. But that's not, I mean, like, it's really a reflection of the individual too, because if you come into the forest with ill intent and fear, and you've got a gun and you're ready to use it, and like all of that, because that mentality is out there too, they will push you out. You know, they're not going to allow you to run around in their house, you know, with that type of disrespect and potential for harm, you know, to yourself or whatever, to one of their kids or whatever. So there was that. I'm hearing these stories that, yeah, they're operating at this higher place, and then they're also in this completely harmonious nature with nature, you know, like that. The relationship and witnessing this over all of the years, that's really cool stuff. The way that they work with nature and how they move with it, as opposed to us, you know.
Can you give us an example? Just for, it's so abstract for me, right? Because I haven't had the experiences, so. You know, what's one example of how they're more in harmony than nature? I mean, of course, my mind goes to like, well, they're living in the woods and they're making it work and all those things. But is there anything else that just kind of reflects where, you know, where we're still needing to grow?
So my buddy Tom Cantrell, this might be a cool way of saying it. And it's something that he was taught from his teacher. He just turned 80 and he's had over 60 years, at, you know, working out in the woods of the Pacific Northwest and having communication connection with, many different ones and also very specific ones that he's worked with, throughout the years as, you know, mentor, teacher student relationship. Wow. And so the information that he received, cause he asked, you know, like where did we separate, you know? Where did that separation occur? Because it wasn't always there. It wasn't always there. And so what he was told, he's like, we, talking about the Sasquatch, we evolved ourselves with nature. When you guys started evolving nature, like manipulating nature to your own evolution. And so that split occurred. And they went this very natural, completely natural way of evolving with nature, which, you know, potentially is the reason why they're so psychic. They're so, you know, like moving through the different dimensions. They're known as the ones who walk through the worlds. They can shapeshift their bodies. They can turn into orbs of light. They can do anything that they want with their body. So it's really interesting when you think of, they can do anything with they want with their body. Why is it that most of the time they're choosing this very particular avatar of something that, well, would move and be able to participate with nature in such a good way, in such a harmonious way, mm-hmm. you know? And they're like us in some ways, and they are not like us in some ways. We you know, like Arla says that, my friend Arla Williams says that. She's in her 70s. She had her first connection with a Sasquatch when she was 6 years old. And, you know, her grandmother her grandmother grew up with them in Arkansas. These relationships that people are having with the Sasquatch are generational, are happening, so much under the radar, because there's people out in the country who have land and who are having these interactions all the time. And it's probably been happening since the very beginning, and they're being quiet about it. Why? Because they don't want people coming into their home. They don't want them to disturb their friends, you know? So it's like, it's a hush hush relationship for the most part, but there's also something happening right now within this subject, which is just amazing to witness, because even when Arla, when Arla's, Arla's gotten a lot of information from her Sasquatch teachers as well. And around, like, I think 2008, 2009, she was told, like, it's time for you to step out and start talking about this. Because up until this point, and for so long, there's been this military, like, aggressive look at this. And, you know, we got to hunt it and we got to find a body and we have to use Newtonian, you know, physics and science and, you know, look at it through this very just like tunnel visioned way of broaching a subject, and also very base, you know, like if you don't understand something, you just come at it with fear. Right. And that's not like, that's not how you introduce yourself to someone. That's not how you start good relationships, you know? So the people who have been having these great relationships, like those people have had spotlights, they get the $1 million contracts, they get the TV shows, they get sponsored by the evil empire who wants to keep people away from this subject on this level of what all these other people know and are now like becoming more and more comfortable of talking about. Of like, no, this is higher spiritual beings. These are, you know, healers. These beings are bringing more about, you know, my goodness out, and like I'm learning and I'm growing and all of this stuff, right? So it's like tables are turning and that scale is shifting and people are coming out and talking about their experiences, and it just goes in complete opposition of this fear-based stuff. And that fear-based stuff is losing steam. It is losing steam. People are just like, I don't know. I don't buy it anymore, you know? And that's the response that is now coming about. And more people are looking in their own, you know, neck of the woods and creating their own connections. And I think it's fabulous. So to spin around back to that first encounter with them and the hoo-wah, hoo-wah. Yeah. I'm standing there and I look behind me and I knew that they could, you know, read my mind or whatever, they could telepath. And so I said, peace be with you. Much love is what I said to them. And then I thought to myself right afterwards, that is hilarious. I can't believe I just telepathed to a Sasquatch. And I started laughing. I started laughing as I turned and I looked up like this and I was laughing, and then right above my head, not like super far up, but pretty, you know, above treetop level, two orbs of light came and went and did this cross right over top where I stood. And then I was like, whoa, like, oh, whoa. Okay. Well, I know there's a connection there now. All right, cool. Thanks, guys. All right. I feel better. I'm gonna go back to bed. So I climbed back into the van and went to bed. That next morning.
Was that the first time you connected the orb sightings with Sasquatch, or was that something that you'd already heard other people in the community talking about?
It wasn't like orbs were on my radar at that point. The orbs in the sky were on my radar at that point. Them turning into orbs, not on my radar yet.
Got it.
When I saw that first, my first thought was, these are UFOs. These are the balls of light, you know. Now I don't know. You know, I have to look back and I'm like, I don't know what that was. You know, I don't know if that was them and they did that, because I have at this point seen the orbs in the forest. You know, I know that they do travel in those forms, and they're showing themselves in those forms more and more as the camps go by. So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, that was my first experience in 2013. That led me, I was just like, boom, I have to learn about this. Like, this is big. The stuff up there is big. I'm connecting them. I'm going to continue down this path. I did stop catering at that place. And I've never been back there. And I don't ever see myself going back there. But what I did witness during my time there, in being able to study the mountain, in being able to study Mount Adams, it was just this massive education. And I saw lights on the mountain in areas that there's no one on that side. You know, glacier, like, you know, just covered in snow or whatever. It's impassable, but there's zooming lights all over it. And then there was a light up at the top that would like shoot open like a doorway of light. And then like other orbs and other things would come in and out of it, and there would be communication. So when I look at this mountain and then I think of Shasta and I think of, you know, there's Mount Tabor here in the city. There's Mount Hood, all of these things. They're also kind of like massive pieces of orgone as well, right? Like if you think of like the crystal and all the different elements and minerals and all of that, they're just like massive in these different places. Within this area of the Pacific Northwest, it's real interesting to see the placement of the mountains and kind of like draw the lines to them, and then also see the hot spots of activity in and around that area. This place is replete with so much stuff going on. Like the Sasquatch aren't the only ones. The UFOs in the sky aren't the only ones. Deep underground military bases aren't the only ones, you know, like manipulation of energy and targeted individual shit ain't just the only stuff happening here. Like there's a lot of focus energetically, good and bad, happening up here. So there's like a lot of exposure to a broad list of different things that I've personally experienced on this path. Searching, finding, being connected to certain things, seeing so many things, and then like boom, like going deeper and deeper on the path of connection, specifically with the Sasquatch, which leads to learning about Barb Shoup and her YouTube channel, which at the time was called Squatching with Barb and Gabby. It's now called Squatching with Barb and Goldie. And Gabby and Goldie are dogs. So, and Barb lives up north, about 4.5 hours away from me on the north side of Mount Rainier. And she's in a very tiny community. And it was kind of, let's see, when did it, I think it was like, again, like that 12, 13 year timeframe ago, stuff started happening for her. She has her home in this community, and then she also has a little cabin, and she'll spend her time between the two. And she was at her cabin, and she saw this herd of elk running by, and she looks up just in time to see Big Daddy, a big Sasquatch male, running after this herd. He was hunting. And he was like, you know, like belly button up from the elk running after him. She was like, holy shit. She's like, why? She's like, I've lived here like my whole life. Nobody's ever really talked about this sort of stuff. Like, how is this? I just saw this. So then she asked some other people in the small community. I think she went to the bar, like the tavern. She was like, has anybody else ever seen a Sasquatch? And they were like, yeah, of course. They're here. And she's like, why didn't you ever tell me? They were like, you never asked. So it was like, people just don't want to talk about it, even though it's like, and that's also with the indigenous people, peoples of like this area and others. There's these aspects of like, I won't look you in the eyes. I won't talk about this event. I won't talk about how you just came through the village and you stole all of our salmon. Like, it goes back for a pretty long way generationally of, it's just not something that you talk about, outside of certain circles or your family or at all. And
is that cross-cultural as well? Like, given that they've found, or there are these stories of Sasquatch on all continents, all cultures going back, you know, who knows how far, I'm so struck by the secrecy about it and by how hush-hush it's being kept. Is there sort of an energetic transmission going on when people see the Sasquatch that they know to keep it under wraps? Do you know, it seems so anathema to like normal human behavior to like,
yeah,
not run out and tell everyone.
You know, it I can't really speak for the indigenous peoples and why the different tribes feel the different ways, but it I think it just comes back down to this the way in which respect is given and received in different cultures. So and something interesting too, it's like we've got different humans, right? There's different humans all over the place with different characteristics in these countries and different characteristics over here. Same as so for the Sasquatch, it seems. It seems like, you know, there's a whole lot of you know, genetic difference between the different kinds in the different areas, and that it could partially be due to environment and their evolutionary growth in that environment. And maybe it has something else. I don't know, you know, speculations. But like the Sasquatch that are seen up in the Pacific Northwest are massive. They're cut. They're like the most athletic bodies you've ever seen. Every muscle is seen underneath the flowing hair. It's not fur. Flowing hair, 6 to 8 inches long, and that they're stunning. There's some that are just like absolutely gorgeous. The females, like, just they have long hair, and they have white hair, they have black hair, they have so black it's blue, they have tan, they have red, they have blonde, they have all the different shades that we do. And then there's differences within the facial structure, that some of them look more human, some of them look more ape-like, and that's not a disrespectful thing to say. It's just that there's this difference, and that there's beauty in, you know, all of them. There's just a lot of there's a lot of beauty, and it seems like that's like up here. You've got like in Florida, there's known as this I think it's the skunk ape or the swamp ape, something like that. He's like they're seen down there, but they're lanky. They're very tall, but they're very lanky, and they're not as muscular and stout. And you know, the ones up here, their trapezius just goes straight up into a conical skull. And then down South America, there's like little Ewok guys, you know, and like in Australia, they're known as the Yowie. And they're seen there, and there's petroglyphs of these massive, you know, hairy beings that have been found in many different places. In Russia, you know, you've got the Yeti, you've got these cousins to each other who look different and act different and might have different types of interactions with people. There's just the same as there's like love, hatred, indifference, you know, all of that. I'm sure that it within us, it's within them too, on some sort of scale. There was a recent interview that was done, something that's really awesome that is happening. I was involved in a documentary on this subject, and the filmmakers have a YouTube channel, and they're continuing this project. It wasn't just like interviews with us and then they were done. They're talking to other extended experiencers. They're showing the extended interviews from the people who were in the movies. They're talking to other people. The information that's coming out is mind blowing. It's so beautiful. Fill your heart with so much love. It's amazing. So there was a lady who was just recently on, and she's had a lot of contact. She's had a lot of personal insight and conversation with them and teaching and learning and growing. And she said, and I thought this was really interesting. She's like, you know, she's like just kind of the same as like you have people who are living in the city, and they're living in kind of like with higher technology and stuff. And then you have other people who live like the Amish, who, you know, reject technology and reject that connection, and they live a more simple life. She said that that's also true kind of with the Sasquatch, and that only not technology, but more of their psychic abilities. So there's some clans and some families who teach this to their children, and that's part of their existence here is to be in this higher vibrational, you know, psychic aspect. And then there's others who want to be much more primal and much more in the physical all the time and not relying on the psychic abilities. So I thought that was really interesting, but also shows why there might be some people who do not appreciate their presence in some parts of the world, because, you know, it could be more of an animalistic, territorial, you know, aspect of the relationship between the two. And then in other places where they're very, very psychic, they're working with people, they're working with them on those higher levels. And it seems like they're very supportive of this information coming out into the consciousness of the people, because I can't see how you can look at this subject without, you know, unless you're totally blocked, like you're gonna find some really cool deep questions within to ask yourself, you know, and it's a safe place to kind of dip your foot in the water too. Again, they're the ones who go between the worlds, and they want to be in this world physically. And I just heard this too, which I thought it was a great way of saying it. They were the first indigenous people. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're all indigenous. I also, like, you know, like, I don't like to use that as a separate to separate us, because we're all indigenous. We all are born into this world, and we all have our connections, our ancient connections. Those lines are thin and frayed at this point, because part of that evil empire, you cut the roots and then, you know, it's easier to control those people. But we're all indigenous, but they were here first. And if that's the case, if that's what we've been told, and that's what we're gaining, you know, that information is being gained from that, that can shift your reality. You know, that can really make you think of things, and you can either be comfortable with that or not. You know, there's this topic, and although it's a safe place, it's also traumatic. Like, there, you know, you can have some traumatic events. You can go to some places of some deep, dark fear, not necessarily because you were in a place of danger, but just you working with your fear during, you know, putting your foot on the other side of the veil. So that's also a big reason why I am open and honest and talking about this, because it can break people, and it has broken people, and people turn to alcohol and drugs, and their families get broken up, and you know, this can become an obsession. That's mostly like that's happened more with like masculine energy coming towards this, as opposed to more of like a friendship, you know, situation. But that does exist. And if I can have this like really awesome conversation with you about this topic and make it, you know, accessible for someone to go, oh, wow, you know, maybe that's an explanation. Maybe I can dive into that a little deeper because of what happened to me, you know, like 5 years ago. Yeah. So
I want to ask you, and I love what you just said about we're all indigenous, because it's so true. And I appreciate that reminder. I was struck, you know, in first hearing your stories about how positive and beautiful and healing and uplifting. And in the documentary, when there's the military guy and they're saying, like, of course the military's known about this. The military knows about so many things they lie to us about. And this guy said, well, the reason that the military, like, the military had to keep this on the DL because they were harming people. I guess they took out four Sasquatches because people were getting hurt. And I was a little confused in terms of what your experience was. I don't know if that was true. Like, I don't really believe, you know, any military perspectives, but are there instances of Sasquatches doing doing mass harm to like the humans in the area, unprompted by human fear, by human ignorance, etc.?
I can say from my personal experience with them, I have never, ever, ever gotten the feeling or the inclination or the reason to feel that I was in danger for my life. I've never seen that experienced with anyone else. We have been helped. We have been, you know, that other side of like the healing and all of that, like that's prevalent. I've never experienced a negative situation with the Sasquatch. Again, where it becomes individual and like who you're hanging out with. Again, if you're like going into the woods with your buddies and you have like the ill intention and you're there to provoke and you're banging on trees and you're setting up, you know, trail cams and shooting guns into the forest, like they will come at you to squash the threat. You're a threat, you know? And I have been privy to some of the historic stuff that's happened up in this area, because there's a lot of historic stuff that was in the newspapers in the 1800s, 1900s up in this area, the wild man, or like, you know, these miners who were in this particular area, and I think they all were murdered, but it, you know, they called it a massacre and they blamed it on savage beast wild man thing, because it wasn't really, it was still like wild man back then, or just like, you know, the Indian stories. It wasn't into like collective Western consciousness until like 1967 with Patterson Gimlin and that footage of Patty walking through Bluff Creek. So there seems to be like in the past stories of like massacres or situations where there's confrontations, but that was also 100 years ago. And these dudes were mining and coming into areas maybe for the first time. Maybe there was like, you know, a whole other backstory as to why things went down the way they did. Mm-hmm. I've also heard as well from a personal story of someone else's that, you know, they had an encounter with one who, again, because there's the good, bad, and indifferent within humanity, there's the good, bad, and indifferent in the angelic world, there's the good, bad, and indifferent in the UFO world, and as with Sasquatch too. So she had a really like nasty one on her property. She confronted it and it hurt one of her horses. And at that moment, another one came in and was like, "We're sorry. We didn't know this guy was like this, and we're going to go take care of him." And they took care of their own. So there's an inner policing as well of like these rogues who are not, you know, following that higher consciousness path. It's not all like, you know, bubblegum and roses. It's not all, and who knows what the fuck the military has been doing. Who knows? Like, who knows what type of, some people say collaboration, but potential, are the Sasquatch relegating? Like, you can maybe go here, but you're definitely not stepping foot in here. Have they like trapped some? There's definitely stories of trapping them and then like reverse engineering their genetics. Their genetics are different. Their genetics have similarities to humans, but there's also unknown. And they can do all of these things that would be highly beneficial to military operations, cloaking, you know, mind speak, psychic, you know, all everything, jumping timelines, potentially going forward and backwards in time, moving through dimensions, like all of that stuff, deep military, dark military, whatever. They're, of course, they've been working on that. They've been working on that forever. You give someone unlimited resources, time, and whatever, like, who knows how far they're going. But also on the other end of it, I don't think they can control them. I don't think the military has control over the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch are so like, I mean, like they, you can't trick them. You will never trick a Sasquatch. You'll never try to get one over on them. They are 10 steps ahead of you. They know everything about you as soon as you walk into the woods, and they probably know everything about you because you're talking to me now. Like, they're picking up on frequency. They know you. Like when I came in to your hometown or to your current town, within 45 minutes of stepping into that desert, I had an encounter with the Sasquatch. First time on the property, first time in that city, like first time in that desert. 45 minutes later, I'm having a conversation with an orb in the juniper trees. So how in the world did they know? Because yeah. They know.
Well, Sasquatch, as you're listening, peace be with you. I welcome your peaceful, supportive entry into my sphere.
Yay. Awesome. That's great, man. For real. Like, keep your eyes peeled for some interesting stuff. So much fun little, they'll give you things, you know, they'll put things in different places. They'll make things appear. They'll put things in weird places. You know, like if you go to your car and open it up and there's a rock on your seat, don't be surprised, especially if your doors are locked. You know what I mean? Like, they'll do things. They'll give you gifts to where you're just like, holy crackers. How in the world was all of that even known? There's so much thought to it. I can give you an example tying all of this in. So again, we pulled it. I went on this epic adventure in April to go to the Path of Totality and watch the eclipse. And I did so at the Bigfoot Museum in Tallahena, Oklahoma, with all my Bigfoot and friends. Some of them I had not ever met before. We had just, like, you know, known each other through the online communities. And it was such a special gathering. And there's so many nuances to this. I'm telling you, it's magical. So, like, I saw the eclipse in 2017 in the Path of Totality, and it flipped my lid. And at that point, I was already, like, questioning, you know, the shape of the earth, and I was looking at the sun differently, and maybe it's a little more local than the 93 million miles away and all of these things. And I was looking at it through these open lenses. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was a trip. A lot of shit happened. And so I was like, I don't care where I'm going to be. I don't know where I'm going to be in 2024, but I've got to be at this next one. I have to see this again so I can compare notes and I can focus on it and like really just try to figure out what is going on with that. Cause what they're telling us is not what it is. So fast forward, you know, maybe 6 months prior to the eclipse, I reached out to my friend Sandy and I was like, are you guys thinking maybe of going, you know, like her husband was going to be retired at that point. And I was like, maybe we can go to Texas. And so it was just like me and the two of them trying to figure out like where in Texas to go see the eclipse. And then it really wasn't working out. And then it was like, well, wait a minute. Arla's in Oklahoma. You know, she's got the land. I wonder if we could go stay at Arla's. I wonder if you would be interested. I wonder how far away that is from the Path of Totality. So we reach out to Arla and we're like, hey, what do you think about hosting this event? And she was like, oh, okay. She's like, I guess this is what it is. We're like, what are you talking about? She was like, well, the Sasquatch and the Star People told me to get ready to host an event, but they didn't tell me what. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is it. She's in tune, man. She's an amazing woman and she's very connected and she's got a lot going on her land. And so we all showed up and celebrated.
That does it for the first half of my conversation with Ashley Stinnett. As you are inspired to join us for the second half, you can find that on both my Locals and my Patreon communities. Those addresses are dannycats.locals.com and patreon.com/dannycats. At both of my Patreon and Locals communities, for as little as $5 a month, less than a matcha with almond milk, you will get access to all of my second half conversations, my post-show throwdowns, oodles of bonus content, plus advance notice of new products, new books, new webinars, new courses, events, readings, special discounts, all those fun things. So do join us over there. I am also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannycats.com. www.wordup.com. It is the best way to ensure that we get to stay in touch, regardless of what sort of crazy thought policing is happening in the outside world. As you are inspired to learn more about me and my work, about my books, my webinars, my pop propaganda digital media literacy course for teens and grown-ups alike, as you're inspired to learn more about bringing me into your organization as a communications expert and consultant, as you're inspired to learn more about working with me one-on-one as a coach, you can find out all that juicy information at dannykatz.com. That does it for Housekeeping Tribe. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. Have a rockin' day.